many of you have had somebody who hurt you maybe in the last 2 weeks? Raise your hand if you had somebody hurt you in the last 2 weeks. 2 weeks or 2 months. Raise your hand. 2 weeks or 2 months. 2 weeks, 2 months, or 2 years. Raise your hand. Okay, if your hand's not up, I need to check your pulse because there's... How many know the Bible says offenses will come? How many know offenses are all around us? We have people that offend us all the time. But here's what I recognize. We live in a culture now, listen to me, where much of the society is almost looking to be offended. Listen what I wrote. Listen very carefully. We all go through things that aren't fair. People do us wrong. We don't get the promotion. People disappoint us. Life can be tough sometimes. And there are things that happen that are out of our control. But we are in control of how we react to those situations. We are living in a time where there are so many people that are offended. And the sad thing about it is that they feel it's their right to be offended. And the offended become the self-righteous. In other words, we live in a time where it has become a noble thing to become the offended and the victim. And the victims start to villainize their offenders. I'm not suggesting that there are not real victims that deserve our compassion and even our protection, because there certainly is. But what I am saying is that if we allow ourselves to be offended and to be offended easily, we will go down a road that we will soon regret. Offense not resolved becomes anger, and anger becomes bitterness, and bitterness over time becomes misery. And as Christians, we do not have the right to be offended or angry or bitter or miserable. Our obligation is to be full of cheer, full of compassion, full of forgiveness, quick to let things go, and quick to give people the benefit of the doubt. Amen. I want to talk to you about the cost of being offended. And I want to, very quickly, it won't take me very much time today, to just simply go over a couple realities. Number one, offense is harmful and it's addictive. Offense is harmful and it's addictive. Turn with me in your Bibles to Hebrews chapter 12, and I'll start with verse 11. I have it up here on the screen. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 11. And eventually I'm going to get to verse 15, which is the main text. But as I read 15, I start to read above it, and I noticed something that I want to share with you today. Look what Hebrews says. No chastening seems to be joyful for the present, but painful. How many like to be corrected? Amen. My mom used to say, "You know what, Drew? It hurts me to spank you. It hurts me more than it's going to hurt you." I thought, "Lady, you are nuts. This is not going to hurt, you know, and it hurts." But here's what the Bible says, and it's interesting because this is, listen to me, this is right in the same context of a verse that says that we can't allow this bitterness to come up, and because this bitterness is going to harm us. But before it says this, it says, hey, are you willing to be corrected? How many know you have to be willing to be corrected in the body of Christ? Why? Because God will gives you a free will if you want. How many know if you want to be disobedient, you can be disobedient. But he'll bring correction. Here's what he says. If you'll allow yourself to be corrected, even though at first it doesn't seem very joyful. Watch this. It's going to bring, nevertheless, afterwards. Somebody say afterwards. It yields a peaceful fruit of righteousness to those who have been trained on it. Notice, not to everyone. Somebody say, not to everyone. Look at your neighbor, say, not to everyone. See, we got to pay attention. This isn't, you know, people think they're just, oh, God's going to bless me. Woo, 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 woo. No, the Bible's clear. It says, no, these fruits aren't going to happen to everyone. Man, I could stop right here and preach this for a while. We've got to recognize the blessings of God come to some, and they don't come to others. Amen? Why? Well, this is one example. Look what it says. The peaceful fruit of righteousness. Somebody say the peaceful fruit of righteousness. Here's what he's saying. Listen, guys, you can live a peaceful life where you have right standing with God. You're like, oh, everything is right with the world. Even though in the midst of your world there's chaos, you're like chilled. You're relaxed. You're like happy. Amen? In the midst of a mess. That's what that is. That peaceful fruit of righteousness. To who? To everyone? No. To those who what? Who've been trained by it. Those who, when they get corrected, they don't resist the correction. Now, the reason I have this verse and the verses before we get to 15 is because they're part of a letter that I want you guys to catch. Look at verse 12. Look at verse 12. Therefore, strengthen the hands which hang down and the feeble knees. Nobody likes me. Everybody hates me. I think I'll eat some worms. No. Strengthen those up. Watch this. Listen. This is so important because this is directly related to you and I living a life of offense. Watch it. Watch. And make straight paths for your feet. What's that mean? That means you're just not letting you, watch this. What's it talking about there? It's talking about living a disciplined life. That you are, watch this, that you are running in the lines. You know, in football, if you go out of bounds, you can't go out of bounds and then come back in bounds and catch the ball and it'll be a touchdown. Why? Because you went out of bounds. That's this saying, hey guys, you've got to discipline your mind that when people, I'm getting ahead of myself, but you're going to catch this, when people are offending you, you're going to discipline yourself and say, no, you can offend me, but I can't afford to be offended. I've got to be disciplined. Make straight paths for your feet so that the lame may not be dislocated. There's gonna be a problem if you're not disciplined in this area. But rather to be healed. Chaotic, people who are offensive, but you're not offended. You're not harmed. You're not, watch this, you're not sick. Why? Because you have been disciplined, you've been corrected, and you're going to make a very logical, calculated choice that in the midst of offense, you won't be offended. Now listen to what I said very carefully, because I don't want you to misunderstand me, walk away and think, man, pastor doesn't even care that people have hurt me. I'm not saying that there's not things that have happened to you where you might feel, here, say it like this, There are people who are offensive. There are people that bring offense. There are situations that bring offense. My only argument today is you just can't afford to be offended. Why? It just costs you too much. Next verse, look at this. Pursue peace. Do you see these words? Say pursue peace. It's not going to come just automatically. You have to make a difference. You pursue peace with who? With who? How many know there's some cool head people? How many know there's some cool head people? How many know there's some jerkity jerk people? See, and the Bible says you've got to pursue peace with everyone. How many know some people are just really, they're just sweet. They're just kind. They're just thoughtful. They're just considerate. And then you have other people that are less considerate and less thoughtful and less. But the Bible says, no, I want you to pursue peace with all of them. And holiness. Watch this. This will mess up your theology. Without which no one will see the Lord. Can I tell you what? This is really, really important to God. That we are corrected, that we receive that correction, that we understand walking in peace with people is really, really important to God. How many know your influence makes a difference? How many know people are watching you? Now, I said all that to get to this last verse. Watch this. Looking carefully, lest anyone fall short of the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness spring up and cause trouble. One version says that root of bitterness will spring up and it will cause trouble. One version says this. It says it like this. It says causing trouble. One version says produce vines that will harm you. Produce vines that will harm you. I won't take a long time, but my first point, I want you to catch this. Offense is harmful and addictive. These vines will harm, the Bible says, will spring up and they're going to harm you. I love the word picture because how many know a vine springs up from a seed? A vine springs up from a seed. Someone offends you. You take that offense. What you should do is spit that offense out, get rid of it, get it out of your garden. But if you don't, somebody say if you don't, what will happen is that vine will spring up and it will wrap around you and it will hurt you. There's people, there's marriages, there's relationships, and they're having great difficulty right now, and here's why. Not necessarily because something is going on in that relationship, but something went on in a relationship prior to that. Oh, don't shout me down when I'm preaching good. Ooh, are the wheels turning right now? Ooh, I see them turning. And what happens is, if you don't get rid of that bitterness, then it will infect your relationship that you're going through now. You know what? An ex-husband maybe. And now you're in another marriage and you're like, man, I don't understand. You know what? The truth is, I am so angry with my husband. Well, what's happening many times is that anger has a deeper seed of root of a seed of bitterness that you haven't torn up. And he'll look at it and think, man, I don't understand. I don't even know what I did. Now, sometimes, ladies, we don't know what we did just because we're clueless. But a lot of times, it really doesn't have anything to do with men, what you did. And this isn't just for ladies. It's also for men. Ladies, sometimes it's like, man, I don't understand why my husband is so angry. Well, the Bible does. Because there's this offense that you, if you're a Christian, you are supposed to let it go. You know that great theological song. You know this? Let it go. Let it go. Right? Do you know this theological song? You're called to let go, but because you didn't understand this, it will cause you great harm. You know, you don't understand. You're not getting the promotion at work. And you think, man, I don't understand. I deserve the promotion at work. I've been here longer than them. Yada, yada, yada. Well, you know what? Here, maybe it is because you had an old boss that you didn't let anything go. And in course of time, you're showing that to your new boss. And he doesn't want to promote you. Because, not because he couldn't promote you, I am smiling, right? But because you got a bad attitude. And this, watch this. This offense will cause bitterness, and that bitterness will infect you in all kinds of areas in your life. There was a village in Africa, and the people in the village started to get sick. I mean, a lot of people in the village started to get sick. And some of them got so sick that they died. And they started to be able to trace it back. And they said, it has something to do with the source, the water that you're drinking. So they took that water and they went upstream. They got their water from the stream. And they went upstream. And they went farther and farther upstream. And they're looking for this place where this water is being infected. They went all the way to almost the beginning of the stream. And they found there was some pigs that had died, and they had got trapped under the water. And as that water was running over those dead, infected pigs, it was affecting that water. And it was causing these people to be sick. Watch this. How did they solve it? All they did was get rid of those pigs, and everything solved itself. In the same way. For many of you, you really need to examine your life and say, you know what? Has there been some things, some hurts in the past? And listen, that I haven't let go, and they're really infecting what's going on in my life? Let me tell you what those cards are for. Those cards, how many can do two things at the same time? So here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to keep on preaching, and here's what I want the Holy Spirit. I believe he's going to do this. He's going to quicken you to write things down. Things that have hurt you in the past. And for some of you, you're not going to even want to write those down. Do me a favor, keep your eyes on your own paper, okay? Hello. Keep your eyes on your own paper. But can we allow the Holy Spirit to minister at this time? Amen. And so I'm saying, write those things down. And let's allow the Holy Spirit to deal with us. Because I'm telling you what, if you just keep on holding on to that, you know, there's a story, and you probably know this story. It's a story, but it's a true story where they figured out how to catch. These monkeys were very, very difficult to catch, and they figured out how to catch these monkeys. And this is what they did. They got a bottle in a certain size, and this bottle had an opening in the front, and they'd put a peanut in the bottle, and that monkey, and the bottle would be captured by string, and they put a peanut in there, and the monkey would come and it'd grab that peanut. Now, to grab that peanut, he would put his hand straight, but once he grabbed the peanut, his hand got bigger and he couldn't pull it out without letting go of the peanut. The amazing thing was, those monkeys over and over and over again would see these people coming at them to capture them. And all they had to do was let go of the peanut and scamper free. But over and over and over, those monkeys would be captured because they would not let go of the peanut. In the same way, in our lives, many times, that's exactly how we act. We have this unwillingness to let go of something that our parents said to us. something that our brother did to us, something that our sister did to us, something that our mother-in-law or father-in-law or ex-wife or ex-husband or old boyfriend or whatever it is, somebody in your past. And so you just hang on to it. And even though it's going to cause you great harm and great bitterness and great misery, and the Holy Spirit says in the morning today, let it go. Let it go and be free. God has called you to live this free life of joy and peace and to give people what God has given you. Is this making sense to anybody? And then the other thing on my first point, it's harmful, but it's addictive. Somebody say addictive. Remember the Lay's commercial? Remember this Lay's commercial? What did the Lay's commercial say? You can't eat one chip. How many ever gone to a Lay's bag, put your hand in the Lay's bag, eat one chip and say, man, that was good, and walk away? I mean, they're right. You never did that. Can I tell you what happens? And it's what's happened to our society. Our society has become so addictive to being offended. This group is offended at that group, and that group is offended at this group. You don't even, I mean, you look at it, even the baseball teams and the football teams, it's like, man, I hate the Padres. You know how many times I'd say, I hate the Padres? As I was studying this out, I got convicted by the Holy Spirit. Okay, why? Because let me tell you what. After I graduated from high school, the Dodgers were in the playoffs. No, the Dodgers weren't in the playoffs. True story, you can look this up on the internet. They were three games in second place. And guess who was in the first place? The Padres. The next three games, watch this, the Dodgers won, and won. And guess what the Padres did? They lost, and lost. It was so exciting. I really didn't have the time. I really couldn't afford it. But I went. You know, people talk about I'm not a Dodger fan. They have no idea what a Dodger fan I am. And I went, you know what, lived in Newport Beach. I drove all the way up to Dodger Stadium. I bought a ticket, you know what, and I went to that one playoff game. And guess what happened in that playoff game? The Dodgers didn't even show up to that game. It was so disgusting. It was like 10-1. It was so embarrassing. I was so bad. And ever since that day, you know what, I hate the Padres. As I'm studying this out, the Holy Spirit brings that up to me and says, hey, could you stop hating the Padres? I say that as a funny story, but you know the truth is, that's what we do. We have stuff in our past that just we won't let go of. And what happens, let me tell you why this is so harmful. Because it starts to affect every area in your life. You ever know somebody who's really bitter? And they complain about everything. They're upset about everything. You know, they're upset about dinner. They're upset about breakfast. They're upset about lunch. They're upset about their hair. They're upset about their car. They're upset about, you know, it's, listen. This is so dangerous because let me tell you what. It's how Satan works. If you have a messy room, Satan's intention is for your whole house to be a mess. And this willingness... Listen, you know what it is? It's a mindset. It's a way of thinking. And if you don't get rid of that offense, then pretty soon, your whole life will be, I mean, somebody can't even walk down the hall. And you ever had the person they're walking in the same place and you kind of do this for a little while? But listen, that person with bitterness, they'll be like, that'll be a big deal. It's like, really? Really? That's what happens. Number one. Number two, write this down. Offense breeds victims. Offense breeds victims. So watch this. One person says you can become a victor or a victim, but you can't become both. So when you're going to go ahead and take that victim... I'm a victim, then guess what? Or take that bitterness, guess what? You're going to be the victim. And you got to, we'll see it in a minute, you got to make up your mind who you're going to be. You're going to be the victim or you're going to be the victor? Because when you're saying, it's like, oh, they hurt me, they hurt me, they hurt me, they hurt me, I'm hurt. Well, I understand that. I'm not saying that people don't hurt you. What I'm saying is you got to get over it. You got to let it go. Because if you don't, you'll become the victim. And you won't be the victor. You'll just be constantly blaming other people. Watch this. You just constantly be blaming other people. And you'll think the whole time, you know what? Let me tell you what my problem is. My problem is everyone else. If everyone else would just, you know what, start treating me right, my life would get better. Could it be, I'm just asking, could it be that it's not everyone else? Could it be that in the course of time, you've had some real people that brought offense, but you've allowed that to sour your whole life? I'm just asking. Are you guys still writing stuff down? I'm just asking. Number three, offense kills your dreams. See, when you're a victim, you don't walk in victory. You don't walk in the offense. You walk in the defense. And what will happen in the course of time is you'll start to lay down the dreams that God has called you to. You'll lay them down. Numbers chapter 13, starting verse 28. Nevertheless, the people who dwell in the land are very strong. This is the 10 spies' response. The two spies, they've gone out to spy this land. This is the land flowing, the Bible says, with milk and honey. They've already seen the fruit is very, very good fruit. But here's what they say. Nevertheless, the people who dwell in the land are strong. The cities are fortified and very large. Moreover, we saw the descendants of Anak there. The Amalekites dwell in the land of the south. The Hittites and the Jebusites and the Amorites dwell in the mountains. And the Canaanites dwell in the sea and along the banks of the Jordan. Then Caleb. We hear what these people have to say. Then Caleb stands up. Why? Because Caleb isn't a victim. He's a victor. Watch this. Same situation. Can I tell you where these people came from? These people had reason to be highly offended. Why? Because they were slaves. They weren't slaves because of something they did wrong. They were slaves because their parents were slaves and their grandparents were. You know why they were slaves? Because the ruling land at the time saw that the Israelites had big families. Does anybody have a big family? Does anybody go to your family reunion and it's like you got 38,000 cousins? Come on, somebody. I mean, it's like, wow. Okay, well, this is what happened. And the Jewish people were having big, big families. Well, the Egyptians looked at this. They were threatened, and they said, here, before they get too big and too out of control, let's start to, because right now we can enslave them. Let's capture them and enslave them. They didn't do anything to deserve it. Have you been done wrong on something that you didn't deserve in your life? That's the Israelites. They didn't do anything to deserve this. They were put in slavery simply because they threatened someone else. Simply because somebody was in power and they said, here's what we're going to do. And for years and years and years, for generations and generations and generations, they had these people who would tell them when to get up, when to stop working, that do anything they wanted to these people. Incredible opportunity for embitterment. Incredible opportunity to be offended. Incredible opportunity to see yourself as less than. Caleb was in the same group. But Caleb quieted the people. before Moses. And look what he said. He said, let us go up at once and take possession, for we are well able to overcome it. Can I tell you what the truth is? I don't care who's offended you. Greater is he that is inside you than he that's in the world. See, understand this. I don't care what anyone does to you. The favor of God is greater than what they can do to you. And Caleb recognizes this. Look at their response. But the men who had gone up with him said, I just got to take this note and teach you. How many like to be taught sometimes right in the middle of something? These men that are teaching, that are telling you, just so you know, Moses picked 12 leaders. The men who went out were leaders. Why am I telling you that? Because listen, there's all kinds of naysayers. There's all kinds of, you know what, pastors who and your bosses and your and some of your parents, and I'm not ripping on any of your parents. I love all your parents, but I'm just saying, yeah, don't be offended, okay? So I'm just saying. But what I'm saying is just recognize, just because somebody's a leader doesn't mean they're negative. It doesn't mean they're full of faith. It doesn't mean they have the spirit that says with God all things are possible. And you've got to recognize that. These were leaders, and here's what the 10 leaders said. But the men that had gone up with him, these are the 10 other men. Here's what they said. We are not able to go against the people, for they are stronger than we. Are you kidding me? Who is stronger than you in Jesus? Put that in your purse and swing it. Who is that? You know, the Bible says one time, it says, as these people are questioning whether God can do it, God says in a way, he says, is my hand short? We start to question whether God can fix our marriage, whether God can fix our body, whether we can get out of debt, whether we can run that company, all this stuff. Absolutely you can. Absolutely you can get out of debt. Absolutely you can run that company. Absolutely your marriage can be better. Amen. Amen. But you've got to be smart to make a distinction between Caleb and Joshua and all these other goofballs. Can I say goofballs?
Yeah, that's good.
Good, I say it all the time anyway, so thank you for your permission. You've got to distinguish. You've got to recognize. No. I can't listen to these guys. These guys aren't telling the truth. I'm not saying they don't believe it. I'm not saying these men didn't believe it. I'm just saying they're wrong. For they are stronger than we. What a disgusting thing for them to say. And they gave the children of Israel a bad report of the land which they had spied out, saying, the land though which we have gone as spies in the land that devours its inhabitants. What a stupid thing to say. You were there for what? A whole, I don't know, I don't even know how long, but they weren't there for very long. And all the people whom saw in it are men of great stature. Well, what is that? What are you saying about God there? Can I say with this? Sometimes when we exalt our problem above our God, what are we saying about God? Amen. Notice what Jesus does when the apostles are like, God, don't you care? We're going to die. When they get all done with their drama, God's like, what is your problem, guys? Do you know this? It's true. God's like, hey, what is your, who came up with this stuff? One, that I don't care, and two, that we're going to die here? Did I not say we're going to go to the other side? Let me tell you what we're going to do. You can count on God's word. Somebody should have stood up and said, I'll tell you what, well, I don't care how bad it is. Jesus said, we're going to the other side. We're going to the other side. Amen. Does this make sense? And we got to say the same thing. Amen. Are you learning something? Look at this. Look at this. There we saw the giants, the descendants of Anak came from the giants, and we were like, watch this. Here's what I want you to catch. Look what it says. And we were like grasshoppers. Notice what it says. In what? In our own sight. See, because here's what I want to teach you. If you keep that offense, in a course of time, here's what you're going to become. You're going to become like a grasshopper. Not in their sight, in your sight. And pretty soon, here's what you'll think. You'll think, even though God says, with God all things are possible. Does the Bible say that? But you won't think that. You'll think, he can do it. And he can do it, and he can do that. Remember what Gideon said? Here's what Gideon said. Gideon said, listen, understand this. You don't understand who I am, God. Like God makes a mistake with you. You think, oh, I can't fix my marriage. My wife, she's not redeemable. God picked you, Jackson, to help redeem her. Amen? My husband, you don't know how many times he forgets to empty the trash. We're going to look at that in a minute. Who cares? Who do you think, lady, picked? God said, God and all the people, he picked you. I'm not ripping on you, but I'm just saying. He picked you. You know what he picked? Listen. He picked you in all the times that your wonderful husband, you know how much I love your husband, but all the times that he screwed up, and all the times he's going to screw up, he picked you to not be offended at him, to show him the love of God. I just picked these two people because they're so gracious people, and I know I can select them, but this is true. He could pick somebody else, but he says, you know what? Who could do the job with your husband, with this guy? Who could do that? You can. Listen, I'm just asking. And have you not experienced that over and over and over again? I've experienced it with my wife. My wife has been so gracious to me. See, listen, and I could pick out anybody in this whole congregation. You know what? Any married couple in this whole congregation. Guess what? You're the one. And we can't say to God, because in the course of time, listen, if you become embittered, pretty soon you think you can't do it. You think my husband is hopeless. And then Satan throws in there and says, you know what your problem is? You just married the wrong person. Listen, you didn't marry the wrong person. You just got offended. Well, I'm getting way ahead of myself. But you say, Pastor, are you kidding me? You know, my spouse has jacked up so bad over and over and over and over again. Watch this. In the same day. You know, Jesus speaks to you and he speaks to me. Because which one of us who are married could not say that? Here's what he says. If they mess up seven times in one day, and they ask for forgiveness, guess what your responsibility is to do? Is to forgive them. And in that passage, you know what the Bible says? It doesn't say to forgive them. It says to forgive them from your heart. What's that about? That's about God nailing you in your fake out, I forgive you, externally. But inside, you are holding a grudge. God says, no, you can't do that. We're not justified. And we take offense and take offense and take offense. And we take offense. And next thing you know, we think that we're not the ones. And here's why. Because those people who take offense, they become the victims. They don't say, greater is he that's in me than he that's in the world. They don't say that. They say, look at how big our enemies are. But notice what it says. They become like grasshoppers in their own sight. Oh, and so we were in their sight too. How many know your enemy will get all over you as you think you can do nothing? You think Satan's not going to remind you of all your junk? You think Satan's going to come in agreement with God? No, Satan's going to come in agreement with you. and your grasshopper ways. Oh, your grasshopper ways. Are you learning something?
Yeah.
I love this passage. This is just the next chapter over. Look what the Bible says. But Joshua, son of Nun, and Caleb, the son of what is that? Yeah, see, you can't say it either. Okay. Who were among those who had spied out the land, tore their clothes. Look at their heart. And they spoke to the congregation of the children of Israel, saying, the land we passed through to spy out is exceedingly good. Watch this. Exceedingly good. If the Lord delights in us, then he will bring us into the land and give it to us, a land which flows with milk and honey. Do not rebel against the Lord. Don't rebel against the Lord. Nor fear the people of the land, for they are our bread. Their protection has departed from them, and the Lord is with us. Do not fear them. And all the congregation said, you're thinking they're going to be, yes, we can do it. Watch this. And all the congregation said to stone them with stones. Is that craziness? Watch this. Now the glory of the Lord appeared in the tabernacle of meeting before the children of Israel. Watch this. And the Lord said to Moses, how long will these people reject me? And how long will they not believe me? With all the signs which I have performed among them. Amen. Can I tell you what? It doesn't make any difference who offended you. It doesn't make any difference that what they did. Listen, if you take this offense, it will poison your whole life. You got to let it go. You let it go and you're going to be free. Now, three things really quick, really, really, really quick. Number one, watch this. You say, Pastor, so what do I do? Because I got a lot of things on my little card already. What do I do? Here's the first thing you do. Let's just ask God to help us. You know, the Holy Spirit is the helper. The Bible says you have not because you ask not. Can we ask God for his help? Do you have something inside that you just really resent that person? And you're just like, man, I've hated them for a long time. Can you recognize you need some help? Just ask God, God, forgive me in this situation. Help me. You say, but the Bible says you have not because you ask, but then you ask and you don't receive because you ask amiss. How many know it's not amiss to ask God to help you forgive somebody else? No, that's right up his alley. Number one, let's just ask God for help. Number two, let it go quickly. Let it go quickly. Don't go over it and over it and over it. Sometimes we just get all worked up about, you know what they did? We're like, you know what they did? You know what? And then like 2 days later, you know what they, you know what they did to me? Then 3 days later, hey, you know what you did? And we just keep on going over it and over. Anybody comes to our door, the first thing you're like, hey, did you know? And you just keep on saying it and saying, no, get over it quickly. Does this make sense? Get over it quickly. And number one, ask for help. Number two, get over it quickly. And number three, and I'll end with this, but this is good. Watch this. Remember, you are not the judge. And remember the amount that God has forgiven you. Remember, you are not the judge. See, you think that you know. You don't know. You don't know what they were going through. You don't know what they were thinking. You don't know all kinds of things. And even if there was malice, hey, you ever had a bad day? Hey, I'm just asking, has anybody ever mistreated somebody else? Here, let's raise our hands on that one. Has anybody been offended? Raise your hand if you've been offended. But have you ever offended someone else? Thank you for your honesty. Of course. Hey, can you recognize? You're not the judge. You know, there's a great story that Jesus tells. And he tells this story. And here's the story. I'll tell it to you real quick. there was this guy, he was a king, and one of his servants owed him a lot of money. I looked it up on the internet. It was estimation about $1 trillion. And he goes to the guy and says, you owe me $1 trillion. I'm going to throw you in jail right now. The guy says, no. I promise I'll pay you back. How many know you're not going to pay back somebody $1 trillion? So he says, I'll pay you back. He says, have mercy on me. The judge says, okay, I'm have mercy on you. And listen what the judge says. Then the judge doesn't say, okay, now I want you to pay me everything you make for the next till you die. Judge doesn't say that. Here's what the judge says. You owe me nothing. Wow, how many know this is a good day for you? How many know that day happened to you when Jesus Christ died on the cross for you? And all your sin that you couldn't pay him for, he just said, I'm going to take care of it. I'm going to take care of your debt. Then here's what the guy does. Then the guy who has been forgiven, now he's free, he finds somebody who owes him some money. I looked up this amount. This person owes them about $1,000. Now, the reason I'm giving you these amounts is because I want you to understand the significance of these amounts. Come and know God, every word that he spoke was calculated out. And I'm not saying you might look it up and it might be 800, it might be 1200, but right around $1,000. The reason why $1,000 is significant is because how many know $1,000 isn't $20? Hello. It's significant because this person who's been free from $1 trillion has somebody that owes him $1,000. How many could use $1,000? See, that's a significant amount of money that God expects you to forgive other people who've really hurt you. So he says to this guy, give me the $1,000. This guy says, I can't, but give me some grace and allow me to work it out and I'll pay you back as soon as I can. This guy says, no, you're going to be thrown in jail. And he gets these guys to throw him in jail. But here's the interesting part. Here's what's going to mess up your theology. Jesus is teaching this story. And Jesus, in teaching this story, says, let me tell you what happened. The king that forgave this guy his $1 trillion finds out what happened. How many know you can't hide nothing from God? Especially stuff that we think is in our hearts, our attitudes, our junk. You can't hide from God. God knows what's... The other king finds out what happened. Now watch this. When he finds out what happened, you know what he does? He finds the guy who he let go, and he says, hey, come here. And he throws him back in jail. And he says, from now on, you owe me that $1 trillion again. And then, just to make sure, how many of you at this point can piece together what God is saying? How many know this is a good illustration? You get what God is saying. But just to make sure, when he's done with this illustration, he wants to make sure we understand what he's saying. He doesn't want anybody to walk around or walk away confused. So Jesus says this. And his master was angry and delivered him to the torturers until he should pay all that he owed him. How many know he can't pay him all that he owed him? How many know you can't pay Jesus back for your sin? Then Jesus says this, so my heavenly Father will also do to you, if each of you from his heart does not forgive his brother his sin. Guys in the back, put this up on the screen. It's Matthew chapter 18, verse 35. Matthew chapter 18, verse 35. And I want you to see this, and I'll close with this, because I just want to pick apart some words. So my heavenly Father also will do to you. How many of God is serious about this forgiving stuff? If each of you, what does each of you mean? Here's what each of you means. It means you are not excluded from what he's saying. It also means I am not excluded from what he's saying. And it means you're not excluded, and you're not excluded, and you're not excluded, and you're, do you understand? Each of you means everyone that he was talking to, but it also means everyone that is going to be taught this today in Pico Rivera in 2000 and wherever we are. Each of you, this is all our responsibility. Do you see this? From his heart. Not some kind of external, I forgive you. No. God doesn't want this external fake out. And then inside, you're still embittered. No, he wants, you know, the Bible says to husbands, it says, husbands, don't be embittered towards your wife. I think God knows in the course of time, spouses can become embittered to each other. Parents can become embittered to kids. Kids can become embittered to parents. I mean, on and on and on. God says, no, I don't want this fake out. I want it from your heart. Does not forgive his brother his trespasses. All right, I got two more pictures and then I'll close. First picture is this. Watch this. Watch this. Guys, can you show the picture? Yeah. That's my lemon tree. Is that cool? You spend 39 cents for a lemon. I just go outside and pick my lemon. It's so awesome. And it's organic. It's so awesome. Okay, so that's my lemon tree. It's full of lemons right now. But some of you notice that, you know what? It's like, Pastor Drew, why are you so messy? What that is portions of my Bible. Okay. Now let me show you this next picture. That's my dog Ryder. So here's what happened last night. I was studying. My wife is so gracious. She has all kinds of different areas in outside. And I like to go outside and study outside. So I was doing just some last minute preparation for what I wanted to share in your heart. And I had my Bible and I had it on the table. And then something happened. I came on in and I got sidetracked. And Ryder wanted to get in the Word last night. So he got in the Word. And my brother-in-law brought my Bible in and it was all torn up and all jacked up. And I was so mad at Ryder. I was furious. It's my Bible. I mean, not that you can't get another Bible, but I got it all marked up and it just was a bummer. And I was so mad. And then the other dogs got out and I had to put Ryder in our room and I opened the door and Ryder, who thinks he's a little dog like the other dogs, he just jumps right up on my bed and he's looking like that. And very quickly, I became not offended at Ryder. And as I am thinking about what I was going to share to you today, I thought about the words that Jesus said as he hung on the cross, bleedy and so unrecognizable, so beat to a pulp that you couldn't even recognize him. And here's what Jesus says, Father, forgive them. For they know not what they do. And I thought, as I was really angry at Ryder, and I looked at him and I thought, you know, Ryder, really, how many know that dog had no idea what he did? What does he know? Does he know the difference between this and all the other toys, chew toys that Megan gets him? No, he doesn't. For all he knows, Megan bought him this. Do you understand? He doesn't know. And I thought as I was thinking, you know what? We're so quick to say, no, no, no. But my boss knew. But my spouse knows. But my, but all this. We just, you know, really? Have you ever been driving and you accidentally cut somebody off and you cut them off, but you really didn't see them? They're honking and giving you signs and all this. And you're thinking, oh, I'm sorry. I didn't mean to. You're like, I didn't mean to. It wasn't my intent. Here's all I'm saying. Most people that are offensive to you, true story, they really didn't mean to. And even if they did, even if there is malice, they really have no idea how much it hurts you. Because they're not in your shoes. They don't understand where you came from. They don't understand what they're doing. And I just thought to myself, you know what? I wonder how many vines are strangling our relationships, our businesses, our potential, because we just haven't let things go. And I thought, if I can forgive my silly big dog, shouldn't I be quicker to forgive people who Jesus died for? I mean, if I'm not saying, I know some of you are like, oh, dog's a person. I know I'm stepping tiptoe of the tulips right now. No, they're not. Sorry. Don't you think there are going to be dogs in heaven? I don't know. You know what? I think my dogs are going to heaven. I think my neighbor's dogs are going straight to hell. That's what I think. Okay, I'm just saying. Okay. But my point is, and please don't miss my point. My point is, you know what? If I'm willing to forgive him, if I'm willing to recognize he doesn't know what's going on, shouldn't I be more willing to forgive someone who the Bible says is made in the similitude of God? How many hear what I'm saying today? With every head bowed and every eyes closed, we don't have a lot of time, but we have enough time certainly to allow you to give you a chance to accept Jesus. If you want to accept Jesus, I want you to raise your hand. Nobody's looking around. Yes, I see that hand. Who else? Yes, thank you. Put your hands down. Yes, thank you. Who else? You can put your hands down. Anybody else? Can we say this together? Jesus, I really need you. Come inside my heart. Change me from the inside out. I want to give you direction of my life. I thank you for dying for me, sending your son Jesus. Change my life forever. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. Now, amen. If you did that, we believe that Jesus come right in your heart, going to change you from the inside out. Start coming to Hope every Sunday and Wednesday. Start allowing me to teach you the Word of God. Watch what will happen in a short period of time. Last but not least, for those of you who wrote some things down, I want you to take those cards. And I want you to, listen, I don't want you to throw those cards away. I want you to crumble them up. And as you leave, I want you to throw those away. And I want you in your mind to say, when you throw it down, when you throw it in that trash can, I want you to say, that's it. Never again am I going to be embittered towards my mom. Never again am I going to be embittered towards my dad. Never again am I going to be embittered towards my boyfriend. Never again. I've had it. I cannot afford it. It will cost me too much. Today, I will be free. The Bible says, freely you have received from God, now you freely give. Your opportunity is to give others the same gift that God gave you today. Amen. If God spoke to you, I want you to raise your hand. I want to pray with you before we are dismissed. God, you see the hands. You spoke to our hearts. This was not a good message. This was a message for us today. So we don't want to leave this place embittered towards anyone. We are cheerful. We are happy. We can't afford it. It's going to cost us too much. Father, I thank you that as people let go of that, as they throw it away, I pray they will never forget what they wrote down. I pray they will never forget that they can't afford and they are free today. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Amen. Amen.